support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. In November, Washingtonians will select a new governor. And members of the state GOP are hoping 2024 is the year voters will finally elect a Republican to the position for the first time in over 40 years. Former Congressman and King County Sheriff Dave Reichert has raised a substantial amount of cash and shows well in polling against Democratic frontrunner Bob Ferguson. But as Seattle Times' Jim Bruner reports, Reichert may be lacking sizzle with the base headed into the state Republican Party's convention next week. Some GOP activists say the party needs to put their backing behind another candidate, Semmy Byrd, a military veteran and former Richland School Board member. The state party's endorsement decision carries new weight this year, and it'll hang on a question that plagues the GOP both locally and nationally: electability versus enthusiasm. Here to tell us more is Jim Bruner of the Seattle Times. Hi, Jim. Welcome back to Soundside. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
Let's start with the basics here. What is happening in Spokane next week? How do these state Republican Party conventions work?
Yeah, this is kind of a new experiment the state Republican Party is doing this year. I mean, they typically have a party convention every 4 years where they elect delegates to the national convention, for example. And sometimes they debate issues or platforms or have candidates speak. But this year they decided they're going to try to, the idea was to have unity going into the fall elections by doing early endorsements in all of the statewide races and some of the other races, congressional races, for example. So the idea is the delegates at this state convention next week in Spokane will get together in each race and decide which candidate to endorse. And they've asked the candidates in each race to sign a pledge basically saying we will drop out and support the winning candidate in the race, with the idea being that they go forward into the primary and avoid problems that they've had in some past years where they had too many Republicans running in certain primaries and wound up with only Democrats in some races in the general election. So that was the idea.
Yeah, the idea is that two Republicans wouldn't block each other out on a ballot, and the top two primary system, you would get one Democrat and one Republican for voters to choose from. Reichert, however, has not signed this agreement, right, with the party. Early polling, like I mentioned, suggests that he would present at least a competitive challenge to Bob Ferguson. He's raised a lot of money. Why would the party be looking for somebody else to endorse, a Semmy Byrd?
Right. Well, I'm not sure they expected this outcome, but, you know, the party's run by activists, and sometimes the activists are looking for more of a purity test. I mean, there's a real debate in the party right now on whether Dave Reichert is their best candidate. I think on paper, obviously, he has the type of resume you'd want to run for governor. He's been elected in King County, which is where the Republicans get pretty much destroyed in every election. So there's a lot of background and potential for him as a gubernatorial candidate. But there are some Republicans who are on the more Trumpy side, which is a very large part, of course, of the party now, who think that, who are asserting that he is a rhino, Republican in name only, and that, you know, they think that Semmy Byrd better represents their values. And I think some of them also, you know, Semmy Byrd, despite having a lot less experience, is pretty good in a room. He's a good speaker. And so I think he's won some of them over with that ability too.
He enjoys the retail side of politics and the meeting with party delegates, things like that.
And he's really focused on this endorsement opportunity, seeing it as a chance to elevate himself, where Reichert is certainly, you know, campaigning for it too, but I don't think placed as much emphasis on it. So now he's going in, and people, supporters of both candidates told me they don't really know which way it's going to go. Semmy Byrd seems pretty confident. Reichert also told me he thought he would be in a good space. But realistically, you know, the party can't force anybody to drop out of the race. This is well before anybody's voted, of course, in the August primary. And even in some other races in the 5th Congressional District, for example, where Kathy McMorris-Rogers is retiring, some candidates there have objected to this idea that they should unite behind one person just because of this party convention where there's only, you know, about 2,000 or 2,500 people voting on these endorsements.
Yeah, that open seat in the Spokane area where Kathy McMorris Rodgers is not running for re-election is a big opportunity, especially for Eastside Republicans. And this seems early in the game for anybody to commit to dropping out of that race. As you said, it's a limited number of, you know, party faithful, these very committed delegates at the party. It's interesting to see kind of where these delegates land versus the strategies that party leadership might be pursuing. I mean, we've talked a lot about electability and the MAGA factor in national races. You know, you had Donald Trump endorsing your Carrie Lakes, your Herschel Walkers, your Dr. Oz, and here right. in a congressional race in Southwest Washington, Joe Kent, who then went on to the general. They got a lot of enthusiasm from the MAGA base, but they were defeated by Democrats in races that many Republicans considered to be, you know, something that they should have held on to or won.
Right. And to bring the narratives together, like, you know, Joe Kent has already gotten an early endorsement from the state Republican Party, which they did earlier this year at a special meeting. He campaigned for it. And Joe Kent is on that more Trump, you know, very pro-Trump side of the party. He's endorsed Sammy Byrd, you know, so we'll see going to this convention where the party base lies. I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
What happens if Reichert stays in, Sammy Byrd stays in? Is there a chance that Mark Mullett, a Democratic candidate who's trailing Bob Ferguson right now, but still, you know, running hard for, you know, election in November, is there a chance that then we have just at the top two on this ballot, two Democrats?
I mean, that's Mark Mullett's hope. You know, Mullett is, like you said, I think a state senator. He's trying to run in a more moderate lane. He got in before Reichert got in, and his case or his theory was that he could appeal to even some Republicans and independents and say, look, in this state, this is the best you're going to do is a more conservative leaning Democrat, as opposed to Bob Ferguson, who's endorsed by, you know, Jay Inslee and most of the interest groups, unions and others that have pretty much held power in the state for a long time. And so, but in the polls, it show, you know, it kind of shows that he's not really been able to break through. So I guess depending on how things play out over the next several months, if this Republican split becomes really apparent, there's a possibility he could get through into the top two. Based on the polling now, it still looks like a Ferguson-Reichert matchup. And that's what those two candidates are mostly trying to focus on. You know, they're trying to focus on each other and November and arguing that the rest of this stuff is just a distraction.
To be clear, is there any major policy differences between Sammy Byrd and Dave Reichert, or is it really just the Trump factor, the MAGA factor that is drawing members of the party to one side or the other?
Yeah, it hasn't really turned on policy that I can see. Sammy Byrd has criticized Reichert to some extent on saying things like Reichert was asked about Governor Inslee's approach to the COVID crisis in an interview a while back. And he gave Inslee some praise. He said, you know, that he thinks it was an unprecedented situation and that things were difficult at the time. And so he praised Inslee to some extent. Now he has said, I think since then, he wouldn't, you know, do some of the things that Inslee did do in terms of vaccine mandates, things like that. But, you know, among a lot of the Republican Party, they're very angry still about the COVID restrictions, vaccination mandates, the business shutdowns, temporary things that happened. And so they're, you know, some of them don't want somebody who has said that to carry their torch. But in terms of pure policy, you know, both candidates are talking a lot about public safety and the homelessness crisis. And there probably are some differences, but I haven't seen that this race between them is turning on that so far.
Boy, I was trying to remember, Jim, the last time that there was a really close gubernatorial race in Washington state, and it brought me back to 2004, to the Dino Rossi, Christine Gregoire Duke Fest, like 130 votes separated them, you know, three separate counts, including hand recounts. But in general, I mean, over the last few decades, this hasn't ended up being a state that was in play for the Republican Party. Could this party state convention move actually do anything to change that here? I mean, I know you don't get a crystal ball out of your pocket when you get asked these things, but is there truly a pathway for a Republican to win in Washington anymore statewide?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's still difficult. It's still uphill. I think if Reichert is able to come through this convention and unite the party and they all get behind him and Sammy Byrd decides, hey, I'm going to support Dave, then that would be a boost for Dave Reichert. But it's still a long way from that to the November election. But you know, one thing about this year, you know, you mentioned 2004, but also 2012, which was the last time we had an open seat for governor. That's when Jay Inslee was elected, and his opponent that year was Rob McKenna, the attorney general, Republican attorney general. That was actually a fairly close race, and Inslee kind of, he did run away with it some at the end. But, you know, again, we have an open seat. That opens up a lot of new opportunities. Obviously, Dave Reichert sees this as an opportunity because he did jump in this time after many times hinting that he might run, you know, for this or the Senate or something, but now he's taken the plunge. He's never, I don't think he's ever actually lost an election. So he wants this to be the capstone, you know, for his career, but it's a very tough state. And early polling shows it competitive, but as Democrats and Ferguson hone in on, you know, the fact that Trump's going to be on the ballot and all these questions about abortion and access to abortion across the country swirling, that I think plays mostly to Ferguson's favor.
Yeah. But we have the ballot measure factor, you know, the Climate Commitment Act, gas prices going to be hit hard throughout this election season. It's going to be really interesting to watch.
Yeah. And I think as state Republican Party chairman Jim Walsh pointed out to me when I talked to them recently, he said, you know, the initiatives are actually the first things on the ballot. So maybe voters see those and the Republicans are hoping those will help them, you know, as voters go down the ballot.
Jim Bruner covers state, local, and regional politics for the Seattle Times. We'll be following your coverage, Jim, as the party meets in Spokane next week, the Republican Party, to endorse all over candidates for office. But we've been talking most about this gubernatorial race. Thanks very much for your reporting.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.